Memorial Day is about remembering. Remembering. Sometimes a collective memory. I was on Facebook earlier this morning. Always like to check out what my friends are doing. And a young friend of mine had posted a picture of a gravestone for Kenneth Messenger. Ken was in the Vietnam War. I never had the pleasure of meeting him. I think at that point they were from Long Island. His parents and family later moved up to Morris, where I had a church. And during one of the memorial days, his father just shared his name. And later I learned that Ken was a pilot in the Air Force, that he was due to come home. And about a week before he came home, a missile came into where he was, where his tent was, and where he was sleeping, and killed him. So Ken gave his life. I didn't know Ken, but I knew his family quite well. His dad, Al Messenger, and his mom, his sister, brother, and of course nieces and nephews who had posted about him. And again, they had never known him, but these people are a part of our collective memory, and we honor them when we remember the sacrifice they made for us, the life that they gave for us. Remembering adds value. We've just finished up in our adult Sunday school class lessons on apology. And it's interesting how many times it talked about men having to apologize for failing to remember. We don't remember anniversaries, or the right anniversary, or the right birthday, and we get ourselves into serious trouble. I shared, I don't have that problem. Because about a month before any one of those events, I start getting hints. To remember, I have no excuse. But on Memorial Day, we remember the sacrifices that were made for us. And that the way we live our lives honors or dishonors those who made that sacrifice for our liberty or for our freedom. We think about the sacrifices that were made. Specifically, Memorial Day was about the Civil War. And the many times that we gathered, specifically in Morris, we would gather around the Civil War Memorial. And my cousin was kind of a Civil War buff, and I told him about the memorial, and when he came to visit us there in Morris, he would go and see the memorial, and he said, you know, he said, the people who came from upstate New York were the ones who saw the most difficult battles. They were the ones who were sent in first until the cannons first fired, and then the other troops would come in behind them, and many of them were killed in those first volleys of cannon fire. The first Memorial Days were celebrated by people who lost their lives, and a lot of the African American people would go and celebrate the sacrifice of those who died for their freedoms. It wasn't a formal thing, it was families who, on that first day where the ground would be thawed enough to plant plants. I know I always think in this area that Memorial Day is the time, or after Memorial Day, it's wise to wait until then for the planting of seeds in the ground or young plants. And even though there's danger of frost after that, that's the time when we start to think about planting. There's different numbers given for how many people died in the Civil War, somewhere between 620,000 and 700,000 people died in that war, more than died in the Revolutionary War through the Vietnam War, discounting again the Civil War. But that was a great loss of life, and we as a country grieve those who were lost in that war. I like the New Hampshire license plate that says live free or die. And as I think about Memorial Day, I think about the challenge of living free. Freedom to do something. Freedom to take certain actions. Freedom to work. Freedom to gather together. Freedom of religion. We need to recognize the freedoms that we now enjoy. Freedoms that we should not take for granted. Someone said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. He also said, only the dead have seen the end of war. In fact, I have a book in my library from the end of the 1800s. I think the date is 1895. And it talked about the Civil War being the war that would end all wars, because war had gotten so cruel and the implements of war were so cruel that we should never go to war again. And yet we continue to use our technology to develop greater means of destruction. We need to remember. We need to remember and live in such a way that we honor those who have given their lives for our freedom. And I do think that freedom is something that we take for granted. We should think about that as Christians in America today. That most of the good things that have happened in our country are the result of growing up and having a Christian history. You know, the hospital movement comes from the hospitality that we read about in the Bible, the sacrificial giving of people to others, that God has blessed us so that we might be a blessing, has been a part of American DNA. The women's movement, you know, the equal rights, the civil rights movement, that God has created us equal. And I believe we need to be more vocal in our witness. You know, to tell people that this is why. Richard Olson told the story of a bus crash that he saw in China, who doesn't have the background. 47%, I think I read this week on the internet, 40% of people in China claim to be atheists. He said, what do people do over there when there's a bus crash? People gather because of the crash, but they reroute the traffic around it. You know, what do we do here? Our first concern is to, you know, the fire department, the ambulance rush out to see if they can take care of the people who survived the crash. Over there, it's how do you get the traffic to go around so life can continue on? He said people, you know, covered with blood are crawling through the windows of this. Nobody's there to help them. They're just there to direct the traffic around them. He said the attitude is different in the United States because of our Christian heritage. You know, that needs to be proclaimed. The freedoms that we enjoy, that we're gradually losing, were the result of living in a Christian culture, or at least a culture that was based on Christianity. So we are to remember. We are to remember the sacrifices that were made for us. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about remembrance. Remember the day of your salvation. Our salvation was by the powerful hand of the Lord and not by our own hand. Even back in the Old Testament, Moses said to the people in Exodus 13, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. It was not by your hand," he's saying, "it's by the hand of the Lord that you were set free. Remember it," he said, "every week, not only once a year. Remember it on the Sabbath." Deuteronomy chapter 5, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." We don't meet here on the Sabbath day, but the Lord's day. We meet here on the day of the resurrection, because that was the day Jesus conquered sin and death for us. And so we gather here to remember what Christ has done for us. Remember the change in your life the Exodus should make. Leaven was a sign of sin in most of Scripture. The Jewish person was to carefully prepare for the Passover. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3 says, "You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of Egypt." Remember, he was saying. Remember that you were slaves, but remember that you were made free, that you are freed by the power of God. Remember what you were in the past. You were a slave. You were from a family of slaves. Deuteronomy 16:12, "You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." Deuteronomy 24, verse 22 says, "You shall remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore I am commanding you to do this thing." Remember. Remember where you came from. Remember every day of your life where you came from. That you were a slave of sin, that you were a slave of death. But God, by the power of the cross, brought you out. Remember. Remember who redeemed you. It says in Deuteronomy 24, verse 18, "But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I am commanding you to do this thing." Remember. Remember where you came from. Remember who you were. Remember who delivered you. Remember, God has forgiven your sin. The Exodus was not just about freedom from an earthly slavery. The Exodus was about a freedom from the slavery of sin. Isaiah 44, verses 21 and 22 say, "Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgression like a thick cloud, and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." They had now to remember and return to the Lord. How quick we are to forget what Christ has done for us. They had forgotten, but now they needed to remember. They needed to return to God, who is their salvation. In the same way, for the Christian today, we need to remember and we need to return. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 says to us, "Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands." Remember who you were. You weren't a part of the family of God. You weren't a part of the Jewish nation. Remember that you have become a part of the family of God. Think about it. Remember the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary that brought you into His family. Remember that you were slaves to sin, but now you're free. Remember, too, the Word of God. Joshua talked about it in chapter 1, verse 13. Remember the Word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land." Remember, he said, the Word. Jesus said it in John 15, 20. Remember the Word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. We, as Christians today, are to remember the word of God. John 16, verse 4, "But these things I have spoken to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you." Psalm 1, verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, remembers day and night." Let it become a part of your life. His word, a part of your life. Remember where you've come from, that you were a slave, but that you are now set free. Remember the word of God that was given to you to encourage your heart and to encourage you to live free. And remember the source of all good things. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Think about the rise and the fall of the nations. The nation of Israel, who at first was faithful to the Lord and was risen up by the power of God in their faithfulness. But then what happened? They disobeyed and they forgot. They didn't remember who had delivered them from their slavery in Egypt, from their slavery to sin. And so God raised up a different nation. It's a beautiful experience to go over to Italy and to see the beauty. But you know, they forgot. They forgot. And the Lord raised up America. And you know, as you start to see these nations, they become self-serving. Israel did it. What's in it for me? Italy did it. You know, what's in it for me? America is doing it today. What's in it for me? And we have been a blessing to the world as Italy was a blessing to the world, as Israel was a blessing to the world. So the gospel went out. And as, you know, you look at that thrust, and I look at the thrust of missions in the world, world missions. You know, Israel was supposed to bring the good news of God to the world. They became ingrown. In the same way Italy became ingrown. In the same way America has become ingrown. I remember a few years ago, back in the 90s, quite a few years ago, I had heard that Brazil had many, many people, Christians, who wanted to become missionaries. But the country was so poor that they couldn't send out missionaries. You've probably heard that Brazil is prospering. You know, they're going to be probably the next, maybe not the next, maybe that's going to be South Korea. But you know, when countries and when Christians within those countries start to say, "We want to send out missionaries to the rest of the world. We want to do what's close to the heart of God." And it's not over in America today. Because I think there's still churches like our church that has a heart for missions. You know, who's sending out young people like Brian and Missy and Paul and Karen and Scott and Emily and different ones that are going out from this church around the world. God isn't through with America today. But I think we have to align our priorities and become the witness that He wants us to be. To remember that all of the good blessings that come from the Lord are the result of seeking that which is closest to the heart of God. And sharing your faith is the most important thing to the heart of God. In the church that I was in Morris, we had an old lady from Maine. And she would sit on our missions committee and she'd say, you know, she said, whenever the church went through financial problems, we would say, or my husband, I never knew him, but he would say, let's take on another missionary. And then God would bless the church financially. Because He'll bless the church whose heart is closest to His heart. And His heart is for evangelism and world missions. And He's called us to reach out with His love and His gospel to the nations. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. All good gifts come from Him. Remember, He is the source of all good things. Remember the days of wandering. And again from the Old Testament. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Deuteronomy 24, remember what the Lord... Remember all these emphasis on remembering. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way as you came out of Egypt. We're told again and again, remember the past. Remember the former things, Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Remember. We need long memories. And we can share the memories of other people. So I looked this morning on the internet, on Facebook, and saw that I'd never seen Kenny's stone before. I think his family must have been there recently down in Arlington Cemetery and taken that picture and then posted it. But Kenny's a part of my collective memory with my friends. There are people who you've known. As I would talk to Jack Fox, he would talk a little bit, not too much, about the horror of being in World War II. And he talked about being on one ship that was just one of many that were bombed. And he said his was the lone surviving ship. And he talked about how many people, you know, under direct attack, how many people on his ship and the ships all around him had given their lives in World War II. Just horrific. Things that he didn't want to talk about. But things that should be a part of our collective memory. Because these people gave their lives for our freedom. Spiritually, physically, we shouldn't forget. People like Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, who gave their lives for the spread of the gospel. We should have a collective memory, thinking about the sacrifices that were made. And the greatest memory that we share is the memory of the cross. When I survey, we sang, the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. To remember what Christ has done, the sacrifice that He made, and that the sacrifices of those who gave their lives for our freedom are a reflection of that sacrifice, a willingness to die for us and to make that ultimate sacrifice. Let's remember the sacrifices that have been made for us, and especially the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. As far as it is up to us, let's live an honorable life because of Christ's sacrifice and because of those who have sacrificed their lives through the years and through the history of our nation. Let's live lives that are worthy of the sacrifices that were made for us. Let's live in such a way that God is able to bless us. When will God be through with America? Maybe it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah when he can't find 10 righteous people. I thank God that there are 10 righteous people here today. Father, this morning we do thank you for our country. We thank you, Lord, for those who have trusted you as their Savior and as their Lord. And we pray, Father, that we might be willing to make that ultimate sacrifice as we share our faith. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be verbal as well as examples of what it means to be a Christian. Help us, Lord, to live nobly. Help us to realize that we are part of an army, the army of God, and that you are our captain, and that we are taking this message of salvation to those who don't know you. Help us to freely share what we know, what you have done for us, and this glorious freedom that goes far beyond physical freedom, that goes far beyond political freedom, that strikes to the heart of freedom from sin and death that you have provided for us. Help us to freely share this with our family, our friends, our neighbors, people that we work with, people who we casually come in contact with. Revive, Lord, us, each one of us, that we might realize the power that you are in us, redeeming and life-giving. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.